I don't have an Xbox anything right now.
It's because you can't break your 360.
And Bullet Witch.
Bullet Witch. I blame Bullet Witch.
Yeah, blame him. Most people do.
Yep.
Quiet, you. It's partially your fault.
It all leads back to Ethan.
But if you look at it, it was really Shelby's fault.
You were the spark that stoked the Bullet Witch flames within me.
Man, that sounded poetic.
That was deep.
Yeah.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 409 of the Nintendoki podcast for Monday, April the 9th, 2018. I am your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
I had an epiphany live on, live through text messages we send to each other a while back. By each other, I mean, you know, the people that you listen to on this podcast. It occurred to me, Tony, this is a while back, it's taken me a while to kind of come to grips with this, that when Tony the Tiger says they're great, he's not just emphasizing the great, he's a tiger, so he's growling when he says great. That kind of blew my mind.
I remember that text message very vividly and thinking, really?
I never put that together. I just thought he was like, oh, they're great, yeah, and he was just... Instead of going, they're great! He was like, great! I thought he was just emphasizing the G. I didn't think about it. I mean, he's a giant walking tiger with an ascot. An ascot? That's always kind of weird. Now that I think about it, that's kind of weird.
I just called it like a neckerchief.
Still, not really. You know what? No matter what you call it, still sounds weird. Both weird names.
That's true. That's true. And the things you learn about each other through text messages.
Yeah, all the embarrassing things I text about myself. I don't really have any shame. That's probably the part of it.
None of us really do.
Yeah.
So, also joining us this week, we got Shannon.
I try my best to regard every line chat as a judgment-free zone, and if anybody tries to judge me for anything I might type, I just put my fingers in my ears and I go, la 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 la, but then I realize that doesn't do
it. It's a text message,
and you can still read talking. It. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have a program that reads your text messages to you and you could put your fingers in your ears.
But then it's still in front of my face to read.
And then last but not least this week, we got Ethan.
This is so much better than last week's already.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I leave for a week and like all these pirate podcasts start going up. I don't know what the heck the deal is. Need to have a talk with somebody about something.
Well, it was around April Fool's Day, so we just decided to go crazy last week.
Apparently, yeah. I was thrilled you guys decided to play Kirby, and you know the show was fine. There was a podcast in there. It was kind of a listening to just the audio version, like I did. Probably not the ideal way to digest that, but you know.
Yeah, last week's show really worked best with the video, and even then, it was not. Not our best work.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you do 400 some episodes, do something different every now and then. I just feel bad for the person who's like, oh, they're up to 408 episodes. I'm going to listen to this Nintendo Wiki podcast. Wow, this is a podcast? This is what they've been doing for 400 episodes? Like, well, we lost that person, but that's okay. Only like 6 people listen to this show anyway, so.
It's a risk we were willing to take. And there is a link to the YouTube channel, too. So, all's good.
There you go. So, well, all right. That is a much better intro than last week. Did we even do an intro last week? I don't think we did. I think we just sort of had a show.
I think the intro was the 45 minutes of you guys trying to figure out how to get it to work.
That's true. That's true. So, well, there you go. How about we quit talking about how bad last week's show was? We take a break. We come back and
talk about how bad this week's show is going to be.
No, we're going to have a fantastic show this week.
Oh, well, jinxed it.
Dang it. So, yeah, let's do that. So, Ethan, I'm going to guess you've been playing Monster Hunter this week.
I apologize for making us 30 minutes late.
Well, thank you for doing that live on the show. That does make me feel a little better. It's not like I was complaining with that when you weren't around.
There were Devil Joes to hunt, and I'm still needing a gym from one.
Well, the people that are listening to this show, unless they download it 30 minutes later than they usually do, it's still on time for them.
That is very true, and if they watch my stream, they will see it went on about 20 to 30 minutes after we usually start our show, so there you go.
Well, shows you what, so just to spite everyone, I'm going to make sure this podcast goes up 30 to 40 minutes later than it normally does. Instead of going up at 2 in the morning, it's going to go up at 2:45. No one will tell the difference.
I'll know the difference.
Well, yeah, I guess some people are up that early. And everybody.
And now that you've said it, the people that have downloaded the show and listened to it know you put it up 30 minutes later.
The three people in Europe that downloaded like 2 in the afternoon. I don't know. I forget what the time change is. It's probably not that bad.
It's 6 hours to England, so.
Yeah, okay, well. Yeah.
6 hours to England, but it's only 30 seconds to Mars.
Whoa.
Mm.
Deep. So, was Devil Joe sufficiently hunted?
The last hunt was very successful, but I still haven't gotten what I need.
Is there any connection to Sniper Joe? These are both Capcom games.
No connection that I know of.
All right.
I would be very, very scared if Devil Joe started walking around with a sniper rifle.
And one mono eye, one Xeon eye.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
So is this super scary Joe or just a regular Joe?
Regular.
Okay.
Right now they're having the kind of a spring celebration on there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the your handler and the ladies up in the gathering hub, they all have kind of like bee flowery looking outfits on, and your poogie's dressed up as a little bee poogie. Aww. And there's like flowers everywhere, and there's a giant flower made poogie as well, and it's pretty cool.
Everybody's doing like spring celebrations right now. There's one going on in Rocket League too, that you earn flowers to buy new equipment for your cars.
Well, it's a good thing everyone's celebrating spring when it was below freezing for the majority of the day here.
Yeah, there was snow on the ground outside. Yeah, in the yard when I woke up this morning.
It was literally snowing at noon today. Crazy.
We need to put more research into this global warming thing. We're not doing enough warming, apparently. Everyone's worried the planet's getting hotter. I'm like, no, it's April and there's snow. So I think people are freaking out for no reason.
Along with the spring thing or spring celebration, they brought back most of the event quests. So if there's anything that you've missed, now's a good time to go in there and try to get it done. Such as the Horizon Zero Dawn cat outfit, that very first event that was on there. Just throwing that out there for other people. I know Cole was one of those that didn't get that done in time, so he's got that done right now.
There's a cat in Horizon Zero Dawn? Is it a robot?
It makes it look like one of the robots from the game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Your cat looks like one. Yeah, whatever. It's pretty cool. Let's see. I was given a DLC code to Shantae Half Genie Hero on Wednesday or something?
One of those days.
So I got early access to the new DLC that's Mighty Switch Force, the beach.
What?
There's a Mighty Switch Force mode. A beach mode and a ninja mode.
Yeah.
And they're all, it's the same levels. They're just changed around to match the style of the gameplay that's taking place now. And the story plot is altered as well. Like Mighty Switch Force, you're Officer Shantae going after villains for breaking out of space jail or whatever.
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds very interesting. I've been kind of interested in Half Genie Hero for a long time, and just Shantae in general, but knowing that it's got a Mighty Switch Force aesthetic, that is very interesting to me. I need to buy that game now, I guess.
Complete with hitting a button to make blocks pop in and out from the background.
Yeah, it's really cool. It sounds like, I mean, you're playing the same levels that you've already played, but they're mixing them up a little bit, and each of the different bits of DLC have done that same sort of thing. So it's a fun way to go back and play some of those levels again. And this one especially, more so than any of the previous DLC, sounds really cool. Because I love Mighty Switch Force. I think that game is fantastic.
Yeah. I love those games. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I actually did the full playthrough of the Mighty Switch Force mode on Half Genie Hero. It's on my Twitch channel. I hope it should still be there still. I messed around with the beach mode. Apparently, you're in a bikini the whole time, and you have to maintain sunscreen or else you start to burn and lose HP. And ninja mode is kind of like faster regular mode, but you have a sword and you can teleport. And so using other magics. So there's that.
Cool. I think this DLC is $10, if I remember correctly.
Sounds about right. I don't know.
Why has Shantae got to put on sunblock when she's in a bikini? She's usually wearing half a bikini anyway. Like, she's got a bikini top and, like, parachute pants on, like, all the time.
It's her legs. Her legs are really susceptible to the sun.
I guess so. She's always wearing those parachute pants. They don't get as tan as, like, you know, her shoulders and stuff.
It's right. $8. It's $8 on all platforms.
Not bad.
All right, I need to look for a copy of Half Genie here. I've seen some in stores here and there that had that CD. I may try to, like, find those.
Yeah. The game is really good, even.
Yeah, no, I've been wanting to play Shantae for a long time. Like, the Game Boy Color one was always ridiculously expensive, and they've continued to come out, and I've continued to miss them. So this one has that. Wait, does this one have the crab, or was it the previous one?
This one has the crab.
Okay, that's why I'm so interested. That crab is adorable.
Okay. let's see. I did some co-op with Jason on A Way Out.
Oh.
So that's the, I think that's Ubisoft?
Yes?
Anyway, it's a co-op only game. And even when you're playing with a friend, the screen is always split. Even though, like, I'm playing in one state and Jason's over in another and we're playing it together. So it's always split screen, no matter what.
And it does some really cool, like, cinematic stuff with those two split screens. Like, you're seeing different perspective, right?
Yes. So it's like we're both in our jail cells right next to each other and trying to, like, tunnel out the back. One of us has to stand watch and check the left and right constantly. And then we finally get through and then we hide our stuff. And then we take the other one will take watch and the other one will dig through the tunnel.
Yeah, so I've been interested in this. I keep thinking about picking up a copy of this and playing it with Will, because that seems like, I don't know if he'd be interested in it or not, but just it seems like the kind of thing I would love to see through. How are you enjoying the game? And also, I'm curious if you both bought a copy of it, because I thought I heard some people say that if you buy it, you get like a digital, somebody else can download the demo and play it with you without having to also buy it.
That is...
Tony? Are you okay?
Katie dropped her tablet.
Okay, I was worried somebody shot you. Okay, move on.
Wasn't sure if I should keep talking there.
Yeah, he's fine. We're cool. Everyone move on. Okay.
No blood. No blood. We're cool.
So, me and Jason, we both downloaded the demo thinking, oh, a demo. How great. We'll try this out.
Right.
And see if we like it and buy it. We go to try it out. And it's like, okay, you can only play this if you're invited by someone from the full game. And so we talked it over, and then he ends up spending $30 to get the digital version.
Okay.
He had some discount code stuff, so he didn't pay full price.
Even still, $30 is bargain price in the first place.
Yeah, for a game this new and
brand new, $30, like cool.
That was like shown at E3 last year.
I think?
So yeah, he bought it. He sent me the invite. We haven't finished it yet. We escaped the prison and made it to. We did some chase scenes. broke into someone's house or something, and then stole a pickup, and that's what we've done. It's pretty neat. There was a just a lot of stuff you can just mess around with on there that it's just for fun, really, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I want to see that through. That seemed like a fun thing.
And if you're interested in the trophies, then you want to be the person playing on the bot version, not the demo, because that doesn't give you trophies or achievements or whatever.
Okay.
So, if you're a stickler for that.
It's cool that they didn't make two people have to buy the game, so I appreciate that. It does kind of suck that you can't really demo it at all, apparently, but two people can't demo it, I guess, but... You know, $30. You only one of you have to buy it. That seems like an okay. That seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
could be worse.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it.
Would have really been a hard sell if it had been you had to buy two copies of the game for $60 each, and then get that to happen. That'd be. I guess they kind of realized that, right? Or else they would have.
Yeah, and I don't think the game's really going to be that long. I think we played for 3 hours and. We might have like another 2 hours ahead of us, and that's it.
Okay.
And that's just a guess. I'm really not sure, but from everything I've seen, it's not a long game.
It sounds like you've been through a lot of big story beats. I'm fine with that. I don't mind a short game. It's easier for me to get through short games. Especially if it's co-op, trying to like make a schedules line up with somebody else. That's quite difficult for me, so.
So, keeping on with the co-op action, I had some Portal 2 fun with Tony.
Ooh.
And we streamed it.
Of course.
I still need to finish that game.
Tony and I streamed Portal 2 one time. It was like 1 in the morning during an Extra Life stream. And we realized pretty quickly that we should have scheduled Portal 2 co-op for not late in the evening like that.
Yeah.
Some would call it early in the morning. Yeah, so we quickly, after an hour, after Will kept saying, are you guys seriously doing this? I'm like, yes, this is the schedule, Will. Like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have.
Listen to Will next time.
Yeah, he had a point. I don't know, I was tired and grumpy because I'd been up for like 36 hours.
Actually, shoot the portal here. No, you shoot it here.
Well, it didn't help that Tony was zero help. Tony was like, am I even awake? I don't know.
I probably wasn't the whole time.
I mean, everyone was very tired. It was, yeah, Extra Life takes a lot out of us. There's a reason we haven't done it lately.
It was kind of neat seeing, like, I was monitoring our chat while playing, and they're like, do you want a hint? Because you seem a little lost. It's like, no, give us a minute. We'll figure it out. It's been a while.
It's a puzzle game. Yeah, you got to think about things. And it's automatically, your IQ automatically drops like 20 points when other people are watching you figure out a puzzle. That's science.
Yeah.
I did keep pointing out, like, I played it back when the PSN crash happened with the PS3.
Right.
And so I mostly just soloed the entire co-op thing by myself. And so it's kind of awkward going through the whole thing with someone for me.
Did you play both controllers or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Man.
Yeah. Did it like a champ.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't work that well on all occasions on there, but I made it work.
Nice. I mean, PSN was down. What else are you going to do?
I could have played it on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that, but you know. You
gotta... I had both versions, so it didn't matter. But yeah, Tony, I apologize if I got too commander-ish on that one.
Oh, no, not at all. We're trying to stream both sides of the whole thing, and my computer just would not cooperate at all. And we ended up just streaming your side and me playing along, basically.
Yeah, sure.
It's a good thing you didn't do Portal 2 for episode 409, or wait, this is 409, 408 instead of Kirby. That'd have been a weird podcast.
That would have been really strange.
Yeah, just...
there have been too much thinking to talk on that one.
Half hour of,
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what we're doing.
In other news, while we're doing that, Portal. Also, Portal... So yeah, that was a lot of fun. We should probably finish that sometime.
Yes, I think we should. Definitely.
Unless Shannon needs someone to play it with him sometime as well.
I wouldn't mind hooking up my PS3 and playing some Portal.
Okay, yeah.
Just give me a date and a time.
See, I don't even have to hook up my PS3. I can just hook up or play it through the PC with you on PS3.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. I'm down.
All right. Cool.
Was that it?
That is all I've been playing.
What are you buying?
I don't think I bought anything. I can't recall anything I bought.
Think harder.
Fine, I'll check Amazon real quick.
All right, good.
But you would be surprised to know, or that I was looking at Metal Gear Survive.
Not surprised at all.
Yeah, it was down to like $17 the other day.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that does not... I know that game didn't necessarily set the world on fire, but I didn't think people were that down on it. That game's barely a month old, isn't it?
Maybe 2 months?
It might be a couple months old at this point.
Still, less than $20 after 2 months? That's harsh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything I bought, so yeah, right. That's it.
All right. What about you, Shannon?
So we were on vacation the week before last. Mm-hmm. I didn't really play a whole lot of games while we were out. I did sit down and play Kirby Star Allies with Shelby when he joined us out there for the weekend. That's a Kirby game, and that's one pretty awesome Kirby game. And then I think it was the next morning I sat down on the SNES Mini and I was playing the Kirby, the Superstar Saga. Shelby, you told me one of the games to play in particular. I can't remember which one it was.
Dynablade, something, something, whatever that mode's called.
Yep, that game's really good. Game's really good.
Everybody's playing Kirby Superstar all of a sudden. I don't know. I feel like I'm responsible. I don't know if I did it on purpose, but I'm. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad, but I'm not sure why the Kirby Superstar singularity all of a sudden struck. But
it's the right time.
it was really cool to see to go from playing what that modern friend ability is to going back to where Shelby, I think you said it worked.
Yeah, that was originated, the first time I had that.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. And then I think I blew Shelby's mind by sitting down on the couch and starting Metroid Samus Returns.
And I think I weirded out everyone as I sit in the chair next to the couch and just listen to you play it and stared off into space while eating Nutter Butters.
Those are good cookies.
You were basically commentating me playing while just listening. You were not looking at the screen. You were a good, 5 feet away.
I was trying as hard as I could to not be weird about it, but obviously I didn't do a good job because at one point your wife was just like, I think Shelby's sick. Like, what's wrong with him? No, I'm excited. No. Oh, I didn't mean to make it weird.
No, but it was really good. And I continued to play Samus Returns, and I can say that the world is safe.
Oh?
Yes, I did complete Metroid Samus Returns.
Awesome!
So, and I kind of want to go back and play it again because I feel like I missed a ton. So.
Well, now I can talk to somebody about that game because I don't know that anyone else has finished it.
I haven't even had a chance to start it.
Gosh, the game's amazing.
It's a great game of all time. It is very good. The only side-scrolling Metroid game that I had actually completed previous to this was Zero Mission. And I know, Shelby, you're not terribly fond of Zero Mission.
Zero Mission's fine. It just, for a remake, it didn't necessarily... Samus Returns does what I wanted Zero Mission to do. You know, Zero Mission's fine. It's very good, in fact. But it's just... it didn't necessarily... do the things that a remake should do of a game I love. I don't know. It's hard for me to explain. Let's just move on.
Okay.
Okay.
One thing I would definitely say about Samus Returns is I don't think there was ever a moment where I felt incredibly helpless. Like I find myself doing in almost every Metroid game. Almost every Metroid game, I feel like I have a point where I do not have the power that I need to get to where I know I need to go, and I don't feel like backtracking 100 screens to get to where I need to be to get that thing. I felt like it was just very well paced. Everything was where it needed to be, and I never was at a point where I was completely lost.
Yeah, they did real well to eliminate some of the backtracking and stuff that annoys people in Metroid games, especially something like Metroid 2, which was incredibly weird and backtracking and samey. So I don't know if I've said this before. That game is amazing.
It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. But coming back to work and everything, I did not have much time to play anything else. So that's all I can claim playing this week.
Okay.
What are you buying?
Should I push that button more than once?
The list was getting longer as Ethan was talking, so...
Like, you were literally changing the list as the show is going on.
Yeah. Okay, like a Band-Aid. I picked up Burnout Paradise Remastered because I don't know how games are getting so cheap so fast after release. Game was like $25 at Best Buy 2 weeks after it came out.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know if that game didn't sell as well as expected or what, but it launched at $40, mm-hmm. and then it quickly dropped in price, and then if you have that Best Buy Gamer Club thing, that made the price even cheaper. Yeah, so I don't know. I picked it up too.
Yeah. Let's see, I also grabbed Monster Hunter Stories. That was at a good price, and it comes highly recommended from Ethan. So, Mario plus Rabbids finally hit a price where I was willing to throw down for it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And now we can talk about the things I picked up on that Xbox spring sale.
The things you picked up as this podcast is being recorded.
Sam and Max Save the World, Sam and Max, the Back in Time, both of those Sam and Max game collections for Xbox 360 that are backwards compatible. I grabbed Killer is Dead, Recore, and the Wolfenstein 2-pack. So,
I'm curious, is Recore, are they re-releasing that game? Or are they adding onto it? They're doing something with that. They're actually finishing it, right?
They did a definitive edition.
Is that what you got?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Is that what you got here just now, is the definitive edition?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And the definitive edition is a free update to anybody who has just the base game.
Okay, cool. That's totally one of the games when I get an Xbox One that I'm going to play. That game looks pretty cool. And especially now that they finished it.
I know it's like... Some of the team from the Metroid Prime series is heavily involved. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing that. Killer's Dead. I love Killer 7. I like a lot of those Suda 51 crazy things, and I know we've all heard Micah talk about that game.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be some moments where I feel very shameful, but you got to do what you got to do to get your power ups.
Do you? You can have standards.
Anyway, moving on.
Sigh.
I was doing really, really well at completely ignoring drop mix.
Was being the key word.
I was doing so well at talking myself out of this horrible, awesome, incredibly stupid money hole. And then Lang sent me a message talking about how cheap the base game was at Toys R Us after these clearance deals. And how Toys R Us had a retailer exclusive playlist pack that if I had any interest, I better get it before Toys R Us is out of business. That's all I needed to light a fire under my butt. Because I now have all of the drop mix cards except for a handful of promotional packs and two playlist packs.
Okay. That's significant. How many, you know what? I'm going to regret asking this. How many cards is that?
Like, close to 300 or 400.
Good grief.
I won't know until everything shows up. I didn't realize
there was that many cards for this game. Holy cow.
The Hasbro Toy Shop, like they're the legit Hasbro website, is selling the complete series of, so they did the Discovery Packs, which are like their booster packs. They're not really blind packs, because whatever card is in the window gives you a really good idea of what pre-constructed pack is in there.
Okay.
But then they also make it easy. They go, or you can get all of the cards that are in series 1, 2, 3, or 4 for $30 on our website. So you don't have to try and find the individual packs to make up the series
right. In
a retailer. So that was an easy pull. That was easy to just throw the money at Hasbro and let them complete the blind packs for me. The playlists, on the other hand, are half retailer exclusive. Like, there's a Best Buy exclusive, a Toys R Us exclusive, a Target exclusive, Amazon exclusive.
Are those the ones that are in, like, the big, what, they look like a record?
Yeah, the case? Ones that look like they're in a vinyl.
Right.
Like a, yeah. There's four that are just available at all of these stores, and then there's four of them that are retailer exclusive and difficult to find in the store, or you can pay the markup on eBay or Amazon.
I went to the Toys R Us here in Tulsa the other day, and man, they were not excited about marking stuff down at all.
Really?
Like, even the Easter stuff was only 30% off. I'm like, come on.
Wow.
Yeah, like, most stuff was, I think maybe it was like 10% across the whole store, except for the video game stuff. Except for, like, actual video games. And then, like, other stuff was maybe, like, I didn't see a lot of 20%. And like I said, the seasonal stuff was only 30. So, yeah, they're not really concerned about marking stuff down right now.
Everything is definitely a store-by-store situation. And I know that because there are 3 Toys R Us here local to me. And I've been in each one of them, and they all have different clearance points. So, and they're all getting truckloads daily from warehouses. Like, I walked into the Toys R Us in Memphis, like the big one in Memphis across the street from the mall, and they had like 9 Xbox 360s on the shelf. And those had to come from a warehouse. Like, somebody just forgot about them.
Weird. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily expecting to buy anything or to get any deals. I just kind of went for closure, just to kind of like say my goodbye to Toys R Us. But yeah. I was also kind of like, man, sheesh, you guys want to sell this stuff?
I think it's probably still really hot on news, and they probably also don't want to take it super low before they stop accepting gift card payments and stuff, because I don't know what the date is. I know it's supposed to be 30 days after the announcement of the store closures. Mm. So that date's coming up real fast, where they're not going to honor gift cards anymore and all that stuff. So, but anyway, there's, in addition to these playlist packs, there are also the 60 cards that come with the core system set. And there are, as of this past weekend, there are now 3 promotional cards that have been exclusive to events like PAX, E3, HasCon, this kind of stuff.
This is bringing up really bad memories for me.
Or if you pre-ordered the Drop Mix game from GameStop, you would have gotten the Transformers Rainbow card, which means it can be used for any of the song stems. So you can use it for the bass, the drums, the guitar, or the vocals from the Transformers theme song.
I guess we should mention, Drop Mix is a game where you use cards to like remix music kind of live, and there's like a competitive aspect to it, or you can just play around and with the songs and do stuff like that.
In case anyone doesn't know what Drop Mix is. It's quite possibly the most innovative rhythm game to come out since Guitar Hero.
I think the design of like the box arts and stuff like that is awesome. I bought it for my brother for Christmas because he loves music, and I figured it would be something that him and his nephew, or, sorry, him and his son, my nephew, very big difference there, would maybe like playing together, and I think they dig it as well. But and I definitely had my moments where I'm like, maybe I should get into this drop mix thing. But yeah, it was like 300, 400 some cards. Like that's
I've been curious about it, but never enough to really just sit down and actually drop the money on playing it.
Yeah, and it never really seemed to be selling that well and stuff like that, so it's kind of something I always suspected at some point they're going to start clearancing it, and maybe I could pick it up for a song. I also don't have an iPad. I don't know if it works with iPhones, so I don't even know if I could play it if I had it.
So this is the thing. It works with any iOS or Android device of current standard. So it'll work on like an iPhone 5, 6, and up.
Okay.
It'll work on some more recent Android devices. If you have an Apple TV, you can also use your Apple device to stream it to the Apple TV.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it's called AirPlay. AirPlay is the feature that you can mirror the image on the television. The one thing I hope that comes out of this, I hope that they make a Switch version, because having it all be tablet-like and working Bluetooth with the device, with how open Nintendo has been with the Bluetooth functionality on the Switch,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see them just make an update and say, hey, the app is now available on the eShop. Go pick it up for a song.
That'd be cool.
It would make me super happy, and I think it would push these things out the door fast. Like, if they just flipped a switch and they put one of those now works with Nintendo Switch stickers on these things at stores, they'd go.
You just keep making accidental puns. I'm just going to ignore all that. I think the game, I don't know. I've never actually played it. I messed around with the demo kiosk at Target, and it seemed kind of cool. I don't know how much fun I would have with the actual competitive game part of it. I just kind of want to mess around with the music and the cards. I think that whole idea is kind of cool. I don't know if putting it on Switch is going to make it fly off shelves, but it couldn't hurt. But I don't know how well they're supporting this game. You've been digging into this stuff, Shannon. What can you tell me?
I can tell you that it started out with just two series, and they have since released series 3 and 4. That Amazon exclusive one comes out in June. They just most recently had Drop Mix Mania, which was their first competition of this. Oh. You can actually dig back through the Harmonix Twitch stream, and they've also uploaded that stuff to YouTube. It's about 6 hours worth of their top players competing, playing this Drop Mix game.
All right, well, sounds like it is far healthier than I assumed. I don't know. I just kind of always took it like I saw it on shelves everywhere, and it always never really seemed to be moving. But I guess it's doing way better than I thought. That's good to know.
I also really like I was talking about the Transformers promo card. They also did the promo cards that they're doing at PAX East that they had done at PAX East this past weekend as of the time the show is live. They put out a song from the game Pyre as one of those multifunction cards, and a card for the G.I. Joe theme song. So that's pretty cool too. I like the fact that they're using these Hasbro properties like Transformers and G.I. Joe.
That's cool. I don't like that these are being exclusive to events. I hate that kind of stuff.
I know, but I've also got my fingers crossed that this stuff will be more available. I mean, they've got some pretty, like, I've dug into the app, and they've got some pretty strict rules as far as deck building. Like, you can't have more than two of a single card in your deck, and your deck has to have a minimum of 30 cards, and you have to have a total. Each card has a point value, and you have to have a minimum of a specific point value in your deck to construct it. So they have some serious rules in how this stuff is supposed to work together. But I'm not quite sure how people are building decks in a competitive sense when it's not luck of the draw, because it's pretty easy to just look up a checklist and see what the pictures of each of the cards are, so you know what to look for when you go to find those packs. It's very easy to find out what you need, and you can pretty much pick and choose how you build your deck with your money, so then it's no longer luck of the draw or how well you can trade or what, you know,
what you can manage to pull, it then becomes what you have the money to do.
So are you looking to become a pro drop mixer, or you just want to play around with the cards? Because I keep, in all this conversations, I literally keep forgetting the fact that there is a competitive aspect to this game. I just think of it as something you drop cards onto a thing and it makes cool music stuff.
I really like the freestyle. I think the freestyle is the most appealing thing to me because it is such a wild mixture of songs. Everything from electronica to hip hop to pop to they've even got a bunch of country music and some video game music. They've got some Harmonix originals. They've got the theme song from Doctor Who. I mean, they've nice. Got all the licenses for all of these weird niche obscure things, and they're all of these cards, and it's fun to just fiddle around with it and see what you can mix up and make sound cool. And then you don't have to sit there and pull out another device to record it. You just hit the little button on the touchscreen that says save mix, and then it'll save it. So you can pull it up at any time on your phone and listen to that mix you just made, or you can even export it to YouTube, and you can export it as like a 60-second file or a 3-minute file. So it'll show as you're dropping what order you drop them in. It doesn't just play what that all sounded like mixed together. It shows what steps you took to get to that particular mix. So it's really cool, the function that they've put in the app.
Yeah. This all sounds really cool. I'm not getting into drop mix. I'm not doing it.
Say that now.
I mean it, I think.
I have spent very little money out of my own wallet to make this happen, and I will say that the promo cards are worth way more money on eBay than they should be, and call your local GameStop and find out if anybody has any of those Transformers cards, because those things fly on eBay. That's all I'm saying. Shelby, what have you played this week?
You can't just drop mix that on me like that. You never spend much of your own money on things. That's just it. I'm not a money wizard like you. I can't just make video games appear without...
I called over the course of the week when I was
way too lazy to use my phone.
After Lang told me about all of this and I started digging into it, I went out straight away and picked up the Toys R Us exclusive thing. Then I was like, man, this looks really cool. I need to get into it. And then I start finding out, okay, what's the best way to do this? And then I go, oh my gosh, why are these Transformers cards $70 on eBay? What is so special? And then I find out, oh, there's a couple of promos that are just not easy to find. So I called every GameStop in my local area and found everybody who had them, who was willing to part with them, picked up all of them, and undercut everybody by selling them for $25 a piece on eBay instead of $70. So
that's how you make money.
That is a good way to make money, yes.
It funded my new collection. And anyway, Shelby, tell me about Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah, so I picked up a copy of Rhythm Heaven. Now, I already have Rhythm Heaven. And when I say Rhythm Heaven, I mean the first one, the GBA game.
Rhythm Tengoku.
I picked up a repro cart that had Rhythm Heaven on it in English, since we never got that first game in English here. So they put like a somebody's translation or something on that and shoved that into my DS and played through all of the first Rhythm Heaven in English for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. The localization stuff seems really good. So, and those repro carts, they were it was definitely affordable. It was certainly a price I was willing to pay. It wasn't, I don't know. I don't really look into repro carts that much, but they were far cheaper than I expected them to be. It was like less than $10. I'm like, yeah, sure. That seemed like a good time. But mostly, go ahead.
I was just saying that. Thank you for the one that you got for me, because that thing is really good quality too. Yeah. I mean, just looking at the build, they got a nice mold, I don't know what to call it, like an electric green mold.
Yeah,
so to put those things in, and the board seems sturdy. It's not like a little EEPROM. It seems like it's a good quality board that they put in it.
Yeah, they did a good label for it and everything with the logo. It's good. They did real well by that. With those kind of things, I'm always worried, like, oh, what if somebody, like, even if someone translated this and expected it to be free, like I still don't mind necessarily paying for like a cart and a label and somebody put it together. Hopefully there's nothing shady going on or like this build was meant to be free and they never wanted to be sold. I don't know. You could probably get that stuff might get real dark real quick. So I'm just going to kind of ignore that. Like I have Rhythm Heaven on my, in English. So that's pretty cool. So thanks to whomever translated that. I appreciate it. I tried really hard to 100% Kirby Star Allies before this podcast.
Were you not successful?
Well, they kept unlocking stuff. Like, I kept going, and I'm like, okay, this is probably the last thing. And no, they get this. I'm like, oh, this is probably the last thing. I go, okay. So I'm at 98% right now, and I'm pretty sure I've got everything unlocked. I just got to beat this last thing.
Okay.
But, like, once you beat the story mode, it unlocks another couple things. And then, like, there's all these puzzle pieces I've talked about that you got to get. And some there's, like, apparently there's 9 of those puzzles, each one with, like, 80 pieces. So that takes some time.
And you can't just street pass creep for those.
No, but you can amiibo grind, which is a new low of things I should have not have said out loud. So, yeah, I may have played the first level over and over. So, amiibo... This is the most I've ever used amiibo in my life. You can use up to 7 amiibo per set. How's this work? You can use 7 amiibo. You can't use any more amiibo until you finish a level. So I would start a level, use the 7 Kirby amiibo, finish the level, start over and do it again. And I would get like 26 puzzle pieces a cycle doing that, which is significant. Normally you get maybe like, 10. So I ground out a lot of puzzle pieces, and used those Kirby amiibo a lot. I think you can use any amiibo, but the Kirby ones specifically, I think, give you 2 puzzle pieces, where the others might give you 1, might give you 2. I don't think necessarily, But they also drop, like, stars and healing items and stuff, too. So I got a bunch of puzzle pieces. I said, okay, I'll mess around with these other couple modes, because these give you puzzle pieces, too. And one of the modes is you play through basically the entire game again, but you're not Kirby. You can choose any of the enemies or whatever. And they kind of tie together the levels. There's not like a hub world. You just kind of go indoor and you just show up in another level. They tie it together like that. It's fun. It's kind of meant to be as a speed run kind of thing. There's some stuff in there that's unique to different characters, so that's something cool as well. There's a lot of replay in that for somebody that really likes kind of the details of Kirby stuff. Plus, if you just want to run around with your buddy Rick the Hamster, like I do, and just watch him breathe fire on people, because, God, Rick's awesome. So that's fun. I got through that. And that takes a while, though, because you got to play through the whole game again, basically. And then you unlock this boss rush thing, which is nothing new to Kirby games. So I play that, but it seems like every time I beat something else, I unlock a higher difficulty in the boss rush thing. Like, well, I gotta play that again now. And like, I thought I was on the last boss rush level, and there were 13 different bosses you gotta beat in a row. I'm like, okay, that's a chore. Let's do this. Did that. And they're like, guess what? Now there's another difficulty level. This time, we're not even going to tell you how many bosses there are. But I haven't done that yet. I think that's the last thing. But after beating, like, after playing basically 2/3 of the game, grinding out a couple hundred puzzle pieces, and then beating, like, 13 bosses, I'm like, you know what? That's enough Kirby for one day. I'm going to take a step back, and I'll come back to this later. So maybe by next week, I will 100% Kirby. But who knows how many bosses stand between me and 100%. Because I was at 97, and I beat the boss thing, and then it's like, now you're 98! Whatever. Getting there. Those puzzle pieces are... a lot. There's a lot of puzzle pieces to get. And all you get's a picture, so anybody out there that's wondering what you get, you just get the picture to look at. So I'm used to that with the whole puzzle thing. These don't really move around like the 3DS ones do, but... Oh, also, for anyone that wants to know about that controller thing, I don't think we've talked about that on the show. So there's a thing in Kirby, and I won't spoil anything or how to get it, but I'll certainly talk about it, that the HD rumble will basically play green greens. There's some videos on the internet and stuff about that. That is super awesome. You have to beat the main, you have to beat the main story in order to get to that. And then it unlocks another level and you have to beat that kind of thing. There's no like, there's no item that I found. I don't know. I'm at 98%. Who knows what happens at 100 or 99, but there's no button you push to just make it play the song. You have to play through this level and it happens at the end of that. And that's pretty cool. So yeah, it's kind of unreal to have to hold a controller up to your head and hear a song and then think, wait, this controller doesn't have a speaker in it. So that's pretty cool. It's amazing that the HD Rumble, the best use of HD Rumble I've ever seen, doing Green Greens. Good Kirby music.
So far.
Yeah. Then the only other thing I've been playing, this showed up today. It took it a long time. I spoke about this enthusiastically a few weeks ago. Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match. Remember when I was flipping out that there was a new Girlzoon Panzer game coming out? It finally showed up. It was a little bit of a hubbub with PlayAsia, like stock and... I ordered it, but apparently it went out of stock right when I ordered it, so like my order took a long time to fill, and it finally showed up. So I popped that in, and how do I put this? The game's I like the game, but I played it for about an hour, hour and a half, and I probably only actually played maybe 10 minutes of actual gameplay. Gosh. There's a lot. A lot of talking. And this is the this version I have has English subtitles, and so it's all translated very well. It's all Japanese language, which is fine because that's when I watched the show in. And it's all original stuff. Like basically they're reminiscing about the events of the movie, the story stuff I'm playing right now. So it's like all these characters are gathered around, they're talking about the movie, and they talk about the movie stuff for I don't know, they'll talk about one scene in the movie for like 20 minutes, and then you play that scene, and it takes like 30 seconds, and then they talk for another 20 minutes. So hey, it's maybe a little slow to start, but if you like the show like I do, then this stuff is interesting, because it's all new dialogue, it's all new writing and stuff like that, and it's all voice acted by the cast, so it's all really cool. Yeah. It's kind of like watching more Girlzoon Panzer, except, you know, I kind of wanted to play more Girlzoon Panzer. But I'm hoping once I kind of get through that, there's other modes too. There's online stuff, which I can't access probably because I don't have the right account that I'm playing on for the right region or whatever. There's other modes other than the story mode, but I think you have to unlock stuff in the story mode. Otherwise, like going into free play, like, oh, I have one tank and one person. Okay, that's kind of... So I'm trying to unlock some stuff. There seems to be more there. I will play it more and let you know. But just kind of giving people fair warning. Hey, there's a lot of talking in that game. It's good talking, but there's a lot of it. Okay, that's all I've played, so where's the button I pushed to make the merchant talk?
What are you buying?
I also picked up that Burnout Paradise Remastered thing, because it was like a song, like $20 or something ridiculous like that. I do want to speak about another thing that has happened to me. So, remember that game I was talking about a long time ago called Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match?
Yes.
You might remember it. So, back when Shannon first brought it to my attention that the game was coming out, I jumped on the internet and like, okay, I'm going to find the best deal on Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match. I'm going to buy this game and make it happen because I want this game. And I ended up using, I went to Google and typed in Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match. Buy, and I pushed the shopping button on Google. You guys ever use that?
No.
Yeah. It's kind of pointless. I don't really use it either because, hey, okay, let's be honest. I went straight to PlayAsia, saw the price. I wanted to make sure it wasn't cheaper somewhere else, okay? That's how these things go.
Okay.
But that led me to this Google shopping button, and I kind of stumbled into something that kind of frightened me, Tony.
Okay, what is that?
I'm not sure why, but there's some sort of t-shirt singularity around Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match.
Okay.
I found like a couple dozen t-shirts for Girlzoon Panzer Dream Tank Match.
How many of them do you own now?
I don't own any of them, but some of them I kind of want to. But I did want to share. Like, I know there's those t-shirt a day sites and all that kind of stuff, but I'm pretty sure I just stumbled into some sort of weird thing where the Google robots were just feed me more Girlzoon Panzer t-shirts that don't exist until somebody clicks buy.
They were just making them up as you were clicking?
I mean, you tell me. I'll start reading through some of these shirts. First shirt. I survived Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Take match. That's the shirt. That's black shirt, white text. And the Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Take match font is different than the font for the words I survived. Next shirt. Too busy playing Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Take match. Next shirt. Warning! A game of Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match is currently in progress. Do not disturb.
Okay.
Next shirt. I heart Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match. The heart has a PS4 logo on it.
Okay.
Next shirt. This girl plays Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match.
I don't think that one would work for you.
Next shirt. This guy plays Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match. That one's a little more my speed. And of course, they've got two thumbs pointing up, you know, as you do. Next shirt, eat, sleep, play, Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match, repeat. I don't know what I stumbled into, but this is crazy. Next shirt, today's forecast, a 99% chance of me staying inside and playing Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match. I hear people typing. Are you trying to find the shirt singularity too? Guess what? They keep coming. Keep calm and play Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match. Next shirt, I can't keep calm. I'm playing Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match. Next shirt, Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match champion. Maybe I'll wear that shirt someday. I'll aspire to something. Next shirt, it's a Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match thing you wouldn't understand. I'm the target audience. How do I not understand what's going on? Tony, explain this to me.
This seems like a very weird franchise to have all of these shirts.
That's what I thought!
He talked about $20.
Oh, Ethan found them all.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. You go to Google, click the shopping button, type in Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank Mash, and it just gets shirts, man. They just come. I'm not sure what robot out there, what algorithm crossed T-shirt and Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank Mash, but man, did it totally nail it.
I like how it looks like it's taping. Some of the shirts look like the thing is taped on there to cover something else.
What totally blew my mind is I thought, well, maybe it's just a robot, and it took literally what I typed into Google and just superimposed that on all these shirts, just to like, oh, here. But they all have the colon in them. I didn't type the colon when I did the search. These are image files that somebody created. They weren't created at that moment, and these are up there. I don't know. You probably get your kidney stolen if you start buying these shirts. I don't know what robot or what thing this does.
You wake up in a bathtub full of ice one day.
But obviously, yeah. Obviously, the shirts are like, you know, they're just dropping this text on there because every one of them, the Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match part, is like in a box on itself, or it's a different font or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That freaked me out. I didn't buy any of the shirts, but I thought about it.
The shirts are from Gamer B Wear. It's letter B and Wear as in W-E-A-R. And it's just shirts that are like copy and paste whatever game into this text field. That's all it really is.
Crazy. Anyway,
they have a bunch of those where it says it's a and then insert game name here thing, right. And you wouldn't understand.
It's so weird. Like Girl Zoom Panzer, while it's a good anime and popular, doesn't seem, and this game, which is kind of obscure and certainly hadn't come out in this country and probably never will, is just such a weird combination. It's like all the stars aligned, Tony. All the girls in Panzer Star, all the tanks got in a row, and they just all shot T-shirt cannons out of them.
Is that a bad thing?
If I went to a sporting event and the T-shirt cannon was shooting Girl Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match shirts, particularly any of these, I would be quite excited. That is all for me, Tony.
All right.
Tell me about your video games, please.
Let's see, what have I been playing? I played a little bit of Splatoon 2 this week, just a little bit. There is a new Splatfest going on right now. By the time you hear this, it'll be over. Baseball versus soccer. There is only one choice in the United States.
Football.
No.
Is that localized? Because if it's like in Japan and it says baseball versus soccer, everyone's going to be like, what's soccer?
Japan knows what soccer is.
If it's in Europe, they're going to be like, what's soccer?
Exactly.
I have not seen screenshots of the European version of the Splatfest, so I can't confirm or deny whether or not it says soccer. I chose team baseball. I played a couple matches. I won them both, but that's all I had time. I didn't have a ton of time to play during Splatfest time. So hopefully team baseball wins. I did not contribute as much this time as I did versus egg versus chicken, where team chicken won. So
I'm really wondering if at the end of this, it's going to be Pearl versus Marina, and whoever wins that, is whoever loses that will be kidnapped in the next game.
In the next game, yeah.
You already know that's the answer. They found a format that works. They're going to stick with it.
I mean, I really like Splatoon story stuff. I'm glad they're making more of it.
Yeah, the story stuff, now that I've finished the single player stuff, I really dug that story. And right? That last boss fight was so good.
How awesome is that? Yeah.
I don't know if we had a chance to talk about this last time or if.
No, last time you guys were playing Kirby, you were probably fighting Krakow about this point.
Yeah. So, that single player stuff in Splatoon 1 is great.
Just very fun. Yeah.
Or Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 1 as well. It's good there too. I think it's better in Splatoon 2, but.
So yeah, I played that. I played quite a bit of Minecraft this week, but I played it on the 3DS.
I thought you didn't like that version.
At first I didn't, but I have found myself every time I've wanted to play Minecraft, I can look at the Switch, which is the far superior version of Minecraft to the 3DS, or the 3DS version, and I picked up the 3DS version every time this week that I wanted to play Minecraft.
What's wrong with you? Did you hit your head?
Maybe. I don't know. And I can't explain why I've been playing this version so much over the Switch version. It defies any sort of logic because the Switch version is, without a doubt, the far superior version of Minecraft. But I don't know. I guess it's that charm of the 3DS version. It's like the little engine that could or whatever.
Oh, wait. Do you hear that? I hear it. The robots are making another shirt. It's a Minecraft on 3DS thing. You wouldn't understand.
There you go.
You can buy the shirt now.
So, yeah, I'm playing a bunch of that. It does have local multiplayer now. They updated it recently to allow for local multiplayer. Still can't play online, but there's that. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't explain it, but that's the version of Minecraft I've played every day this week if I wanted to play.
There you go. Well, hey, to each his own. And literally, in this case, your own, because you're playing that game 100%
alone. I'm playing that game by myself, yeah. So, yeah, there's that. The only new thing that I played this week is I downloaded Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Yeah, that game's fun.
I am having a blast
with
that game.
It is so charming, like right at the end of the day when all the lights go out in the pizza thing and your open sign kind of flickers before it goes out. It's the last thing. It's really charming.
It really is. I mean, those customers, man, pizza.
They love pizza, and I'm so enthusiastic, right? Yeah.
Like, somebody was like, I didn't know what living was till I had this pizza.
Like, I want to be best friends with all of those people. They're my kind of people.
And the Pizza News Network is just, they have the best news stories.
Yes, 100%. I'm not a big fan of watching TV or watching the news, but man, I would totally watch PNN.
So, and I don't know if it's just the gameplay is, it's more of like a puzzle game than, a time management style game or, a Diner Dash style game where they're just throwing everything at you and you're having to do so much at one time.
Yeah.
They're like, you just take an order of pizza. You try to figure out, sometimes you have to interpret what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I am a little worried by the number of people that order pizza with nothing on it.
That is kind of weird. Yeah, people like just bread. Like,
I just want the crust. That's it.
Are you sure? Did you hit your head? Are you okay? Like, I don't know. Go watch PNN. I'll make pizza.
And they're like, I want pizza with no sauce, and I want it run through the oven twice. So Yeah. They want really well done crust.
Yeah.
They want some really dry pizza.
I had somebody, they didn't want any sauce, but they wanted cheese on the whole thing and they wanted it cooked twice. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah. So that is the neat thing about it, trying to interpret what they say. And then sometimes you have to hit the what button and they have to sort of re-explain what you want what they want in a different way.
Yeah. And that makes them less happy as well. So like you want to you're skittish to like ask them, like when they come and order a macaroni pizza, you go, did they mean pepperoni or do they just want an all cheese pizza? I don't know. I'm going to roll the dice on this one.
Yeah, so like one person in the first week ordered, they wanted a salami pizza, and I was like, I don't have salami. So I was like, what? And they're like, oh, I meant pepperoni.
Like, oh, we can do that all day.
So I mean, I probably could have just given them a pepperoni pizza and said, here's your salami pizza, and it would have been fine, but that's one of the few times I remember specifically being like, you're going to have to reorder that because I don't have that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game is incredibly charming and it's free. So if anybody out there is curious about it, you talked this game to death the other day. I highly recommend Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I definitely am enjoying it to the point to where when I hit the end of the free wall or whatever, I'll probably plunk down some money and try that. I mean, it's probably only like $3. But yeah, I am enjoying it a lot. It is very charming, if nothing else. It's cool.
Even the villain in the game is, while he's talking down to you, there's just something... He's a likable villain.
It's so funny because clearly he likes the pizza you make, but he's your enemy. So he has to like say your pizza's terrible, but he always like, hey, give me one of your pizzas. This is garbage pizza. Well, I guess I'll take it with me.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You're like, I know you like that pizza.
Yeah, clearly you like my pizza. You order it every day.
So, yeah. I played through the first week of that, I think. I don't remember exactly how it's broken up, if it's by weeks or just by sections.
I think it just goes through days at this point. I only play it every now and then, so I think I'm only like day 9 or 10, but it's fun.
Yeah, I'm very much enjoying it. But that is it, aside from the first episode of the Persona 5 anime showed up on Hulu today, so I watched that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to check that out.
I was watching it. Katie walked in about 5 minutes after I started it. She sat down and watched the rest of it with me. The credits rolled. She's like, is that it? She wanted to watch the next episode, but there's only one episode available right now.
Yeah. And we kind of dissected this for the show. I'm like, is this the new show or is this the one episode anime they made before the game? So apparently this is the new show. So there's two episodes out there. You can go watch that other anime, have two episodes, but
I'll have to see if I can find that as well. Cause talking to you, it does sound like this is, you know, the story of the game. So it seems like this is the actual, show.
Yeah. That one episode thing they made, back before the game came out, they positioned it as like a prequel to the game, which I don't know why, because like it's literally like kind of expands on the story of one of the side missions or one of the things where you go in Mementos and track down one of the people, whatever those are called. I forget. I don't know. Other people play Persona. You can help me out.
I don't remember what it's called.
Great. Well, anyway, it's one of those, which I think maybe it was all kind of like, they were certainly out there all like, oh, here's this character's bio and here's this stuff. I totally avoided all that because I just wanted to go in. Like, I know I'm going to play this game. You don't have to sell it to me. So I wasn't keeping up on that. So maybe if you were, then watching that one episode anime thing would have been, I don't know. I considered it kind of spoilery, but that's why I didn't watch it until after I was done with the game.
And this is the way that I get Persona, because I haven't played through those games, but I've watched the animes for 3 and 4, and I'm going to watch 5 now. So that way I know what's going on and can, you know, at least converse about the series in some way.
There's another anime out there. There's that Persona Trinity Soul anime. I would recommend don't watch that.
Really?
I wondering what you're about to do there. I was like, what, is Ethan tell them not to?
I talked to Ethan and Jason about this, and they both were kind of like, maybe don't watch it. But I had to know. I had to know for myself. It's not great. Yeah. The characters are good, and I don't necessarily think that the story is bad. I think it's just told really poorly. Like, if they would have, like, had a different narrative with that, I think it could have been okay. But, yeah, it's not worth it. If you got to know, then, yeah, feel free to watch it. It's not all bad. There's some cool scenes, but, yeah, as a whole, not that great.
Well, I will avoid that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, this first episode of the Persona 5 anime was good.
Cool. Yeah, the Persona 4 movie, the Persona 3 movies and the Persona 4 2 animes are both fantastic, so I hope they continue that.
So, and then that is it for me for this week.
What are you buying?
So I bought something that now gives me another use to use my 3DS stand.
Minecraft 2.
No, not Minecraft 2. Last week, the Arcade Archives version of Punch-Out came out.
Body blow, body blow.
You hear that a lot.
I just like saying that. It's fun.
And that does have a vertical mode. And nice. So using because this was one of the first, like, arcade things that Nintendo did that used two screens.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows me that 3DS games would work on this system as well in some fashion.
Okay.
Because you can turn this thing on its side and use the vertical orientation to play the game in that way. And so it's really cool. The game itself, it's
Punch
not.
Punch-Out on the NES was a far superior game.
Yes.
I mean, they're different games. I mean, they're both called Punch-Out, but they're pretty different. Like, in Punch-Out NES, it's all pattern recognition and learning that stuff. On this, you're literally beating a guy up.
Yeah, you play, the first person you fight is Glass Joe in this. So, I mean, there are some similarities, but Punch-Out on the NES is a much, much better game.
Yeah.
So
a cool thing, though. I'm glad they're releasing that stuff. That is super cool because not a lot of people have ever seen one of those arcade machines. There are not a lot of them around. I hadn't played one for the first time.
I have seen an arcade Punch-Out machine. I've never played one.
Right.
That was sort of, it was back before I really knew, you know, what Nintendo was, that I saw those things in the arcade. But I vividly remember this. You know, the wireframe of Little Mac or whoever the character is in this
version of the game.
And so I've been playing through this. It's hard. It is really hard. And I don't know if it's just because of the way the controller is laid out or what.
No, it's a hard game. I find it hard, at least the one time I played it. So
yeah, I've struggled to get past the second fight in that against Piston Hurricane. Glass Joe, I've gotten to the point where I can beat him pretty easily, but that second fight is still pretty hard for me. Whereas, you know, I can breeze through the Wii version of Punch-Out. I've never beaten the NES version of Punch-Out, but I have beaten the Super Nintendo version.
By beaten, you mean you've never beat Mike Tyson, aka Mr. Dream?
Exactly.
You've beaten every guy can get up to him, I bet, so.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
He's formidable, we'll say that.
Yeah, so. But that is it for me this week, so let's take a quick break. We will come back and we will talk about the news. All right, guys, the news this week is filled with a bunch of release dates for upcoming Switch games.
For some reason, I thought the next word you were going to say was going to be sadness. I don't know why. Maybe I'm pessimistic. But
the release dates for a bunch of sadness. No, no, no. Some people might be very excited about some of these releases. First couple are SNK releases. Cool. SNK Heroines has a release date for PS4 and Switch now.
Yay! Cool.
That is September 7th.
Nice.
That game looks cool. Hopefully, I don't know, the logo kind of made me go, why did you have to make the logo sparkle? Like, couldn't it just be something cool? But, like, okay, it still looks like a fun game. Hopefully it's not creepy in any weird way or anything.
Yeah, and you can see on the site, there's a trailer for the newest character that was announced, Shermie, who was first in King of Fighters 97.
Okay.
So you can go check that out and see the game in action a little bit. I think it's like a minute-long trailer. For that, but the game will be out on September 7th for both the PS4 and the Switch.
Cool.
So, and I think Switch is getting a physical release, but the PS4, it looks like, according to this, is just digital.
All right, well, I know somebody that's going to have to buy that. I may know somebody that loves fighting games, loves SNK fighting games, and loves physical releases of things that are almost are always digital.
If I remember correctly, this special edition is a NIS America store exclusive.
Yes.
What creepy peripheral bonus thing does it come with?
It comes with a hat that says Fatal Cutie.
Okay, that's not as bad as a pair of underwear for my phone.
You know what? You got a point.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That, and for anybody that doesn't know, this is the SNK fighter that stars its female roster. The entire roster is female characters. Is it 2-on-2 battles? Am I remembering that correctly? Know.
I hope not. I just want it to be 1-on-1. I don't really like tag fighting games as much.
Okay, because, well, you know, the full title is SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy.
Ah, okay, so it's probably... you know what? That leads me to believe that tagging is probably a big element of that game.
So, there you go. September 7th is when that comes out.
Cool.
And also this week, SNK announced that they are releasing a 40th anniversary collection for the Switch.
Yeah! Speaking of people that love SNK physical releases and stuff like that, maybe they're excited about this too.
Entirely possible. No firm release date, but coming in the fall this year. And there are 13 games so far for this that have been announced, and they say that there are more announcements coming in the future.
You got a list? I want to hear the list.
Okay, here's the list. The console and arcade versions of Alpha Mission.
Okay.
Athena.
Okay.
Akari Warriors.
Okay, there we go. That's exciting.
Akari Warriors 2.
Ooh, okay.
Akari Warriors 3.
I see a pattern. Actually, that's the end of that pattern.
Guerrilla War.
Okay.
POW.
Okay. These are all very similar games so far.
And TNK3.
I don't even know what that is.
I have no idea what that is. And then the console versions of Crystallis.
Okay.
Going through the list. The arcade version of Prehistoric Isle.
Okay, I don't really know a lot of these games. I'm realizing
Some of these titles I don't recognize. Psycho Soldier.
I guess a lot of this stuff is probably only ever in arcades, and I didn't have a lot of arcade experience, so that's probably why I don't recognize a lot of these titles.
And then Street Smart and Vanguard.
I want in my mind, Street Guard is a
Street Smart
dance battle game. Is that just me? Am I the only one that secretly wants a dance battle game? Everyone got really awkward and quiet all of a sudden, so I have a feeling that I'm the only one that dreams about that.
It may be.
Okay, maybe. Well, I will continue to dream alone.
So,
I guess there's a... That SNK thing, just interrupting real quick on that, the physical version of that is only available through the collector's edition, which is like $120.
Wow, okay.
Is that the SNK Heroines?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought you were talking about this thing. Okay.
I may have pre-ordered a while back.
I mean, the game looks cool. $120 is a lot to buy. A big bite if you just want the physical game and not necessarily interested in goodness knows what extra stuff they shove in the box. So,
you sure you don't want the hat?
Does it say Fatal Cutie or Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match?
Maybe both. It's reversible.
If I could get a hat that says Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match, I would totally buy that hat.
All right, I'm looking that up now.
All right, great. I have to eat my hat, words, whatever.
So this arcade archives thing, or this SNK Collector's Edition, they're saying they're updating a lot of the graphics to feature 1080p resolution.
Cool.
Redesigning the control schemes, obviously, to fit right. modern controllers. A museum mode that includes history of SNK with high definition artwork and original promotional assets.
Cool. That stuff will be really rad. Yeah.
So
there was some cool artwork for some old SNK arcade stuff too. I've seen some of it firsthand. I might know a guy. So yeah, that's cool.
So there you go. And that will be out this fall. No official release date yet.
All right. Well, I'm sure their SNK fans are rejoicing over that one.
Let's see what else. There's a couple other release dates here we've got to talk about. Spyro is coming back.
What?
Spyro.
They're making a new Skylanders game?
No, they're not.
Never again.
No, probably not.
They're giving that one character his own spinoff now.
Oh, yes. Cool. So Spyro, I guess Skylanders are so popular, like, hey, let's take this one dragon.
He's getting a trilogy now.
Oh, wow. But so, they're all retro games, right? They look like PlayStation 1 games.
Spyro is spinning off into a trilogy called Spyro Reignited.
I really wish Drobot would have got his own spinoff series, but you know what? We'll continue to dream alone.
Drobot would have been a cool choice. Maybe he'll be like a skin for Spyro in this new trilogy.
I mean, Drobot is Mecha Spyro, let's be honest here. We all know.
That's true. So, no, the first three games, Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon are being remade for the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Cool. I wonder how well those games hold up. I never played Spyro back in the day.
I think these are far better games than the Crash games were.
Bite your tongue, Tony Miller. Those are some of the best platformers ever made.
I much preferred Spyro to Crash back in the day on the PS1.
Okay. I knew they were always kind of similar games. I guess I always played the Crash ones, but that makes me excited about this thing then, because they sound like good games.
Yeah, so this is being done by a developer that is very familiar with Spyro, and that is Toys for Bob.
Okay. Oh.
yeah. Them that handled that whole Skylanders thing.
Right. Yeah, Spyro always struck me more as Banjo-Kazooie than like a side-scrolling platformer kind of thing, so...
Yeah, well, these are all 3D platformers.
Yeah, I think that was the difference. I always liked Crash because it was like a new 2D platformer, 2D-ish platformer.
Yeah, so this will be out on September 21st. Right now, it is only confirmed for the Xbox One and the PS4.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it'll come to Switch, and you'll buy a cart that'll only have the first Spyro game on it, and you'll have to download
the other
two.
And then you can download the other two, yeah.
Even though each one of them will fit, like, I don't know, on my pinky or whatever because they're tiny.
Yeah, and it will be available for $40.
That seems a little pricey.
So, the Crash trilogy was also $40.
Oh, was it? Okay. I don't know. I think I ended up getting it when Shannon found it for like $6 or something like that. So.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you haven't seen this, it looks really good. I mean, just they've done a really nice job of just visually updating this game for HD systems. That trailer looks really nice.
So is there any Amiibo support? Any Skylander support?
Not confirmed at this time, no.
Okay.
My guess would be no, but you never know. So maybe this will lead to a surge
don't
in
say
popularity
it. Don't
for
say
Spyro.
It.
And he'll spin off from his spinoff, and we'll get a new Skylanders game.
Oh, I thought you said we were going to get a Spyro Amiibo. Dang it, I said it! What am I doing?
Good job. Good job. No, here you go. And the most important release date we have to talk about this week. Mark your calendars, June 5th.
Okay, marking June 5th. That's a month and a day before the Miku concert, so must be important.
June 5th, 2018 is the day that you will be able to play Shaq Fu.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Tony, I think you tricked me.
Shaq Fu, Legend Reborn, will be out on June 5th. The game has been in development for 4 years.
Man, they must really be excited, and there's a lot of passion. I would hope there has to be a lot of passion for that developer for this game. And that makes me smile that somebody out there cares enough about Shaq Fu. I will probably never play Shaq Fu 2.
Yeah, I should be getting a free copy of this, so I will be playing this and telling you all about it. You know, it was announced 4 years ago, but to be fair, the game probably hasn't been in development that whole time because there was that whole NBA Playgrounds issue that took up a large chunk of time for the developer.
I don't know how big that team is, but yeah, I can't imagine they've been working on Shaq Fu 2 for 4 years straight. If they have, man, then maybe that game's more than I thought, but...
So I watched a video of the first 8 minutes of gameplay of this today. It looks ridiculous. It looks kind of dumb. It looks a little bit mildly racist. but it actually does look sort of fun at the same time.
For something that you're getting for free. Yeah, I imagine something you play around with and have a goofy time for a while and. That'll probably be it. I don't know. Maybe it'll end up being amazing. Who knows? Maybe
Shaq Fu will be coming into the release of this game with zero expectations.
As you should. As everyone should. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad people are passionate about this project and put a lot of hard work into it. That's great. I'm sure it'll be fun. But let's just... Shaq Fu doesn't necessarily have the greatest legacy, you know? It might be the worst fighting game ever made. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you these things.
So, yeah, this is an action brawler, so it's not just a straight fighting game. Yeah, but I have absolutely no expectations going into this. So it can only be better than I'm thinking it's going to be.
Right, you can only have a good time. If you have zero expectations and it still lets you down, then they should not have made the game.
It is fully voice acted, though. There is that.
Okay. Very important question, Tony. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Does Shaq voice himself?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right. That's cool. Well, I don't know. Well, you know what? I'm glad they got Shaq in. I don't know how good of a voice actor Shaq would be.
In the opening cinematic, you learn that Shaq was a Chinese orphan.
What? What? Huh? That's wrong for so many reasons.
He was made fun of growing up because he was so much bigger than all of the other kids in China.
Okay. That checks out.
And he learns fighting from the most stereotypical Chinese person on the planet.
I've seen Shaq do some commentary on whatever, you know, his basketball show is. Basketball show, listen to me. I don't know, whatever sports center equivalent that he's on.
I think, NBA on TNT stuff.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, clearly. He is was a professional basketball player. But, you know, listen to him talk. He's just... it's not exactly the most discernible, you know?
That is true. And if I remember correctly, he is like a sheriff's deputy.
What?
I'm like, sorry. Seriously.
What? Wait, in Shaq Fu or in real life? I can't tell anymore.
In real life.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm trying to confirm.
Are you sure you're not thinking of that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Hold on. I have to completely confirm this, but I swear I remember hearing something about him being like a... sheriff's deputy.
Who would... That's a publicity stunt, right? Like, you don't... Like, he's not actually on active duty carrying a gun. Like, you can't exactly crouch behind a cop car when you're as big as three cop cars.
You sure you're not thinking of Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal is as well, but I'm pretty sure I remember seeing...
You're telling me that there is a possibility that one of these days I could get pulled over and it would be Steven Seagal and Shaq?
That's a possibility.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme in the back of
I want to know where in the country this is a thing.
On. Okay, yeah.
Wait, don't they have to sign like the ticket to hand over to you or something?
Yes. They do.
It's like free autographs right there.
Don't you have to like exactly. Send that in or something? I don't know if you... I've never gotten a ticket. Where's some wood I can knock on? But I don't think you get to keep it. Like, don't you have to send it in like a ticket stub or something?
Yeah, you get the carbon copy.
In December 2016...
What year are you living in, Ethan? It's not 1982.
What?
Carbon copies, really?
Okay, here we go.
There's still a thing.
Really? Yes. Okay, cool.
In September of 2006, O'Neill took part in a raid on a home in rural Bedford County, Virginia. He had been made an he'd been made an honorary deputy by the local sheriff, and he was not qualified as a SWAT officer. But
they sent him on a raid?
In December of 2016, he was sworn in as a sheriff's deputy in Jonesboro, Georgia.
All right, I know where I'm allowed to speed now.
And they send him to bust down a meth house? Like, what is going on? Usually when you're honorary deputy, it's a publicity stunt to get funding for something, not like, all right, we're going to make this professional NBA player also a giant guy to just go into this meth house or something like that.
Back in 2005, he began training to become a Miami Beach Reserve officer. He assumed a $1 per year salary in that capacity, and he is officially a sheriff's deputy in Georgia and holds the record as the tallest sheriff's deputy in the county.
What a surprise.
So, yes.
Huh. Shaq is a giant man.
In addition to NBA Hall of Famer, voice actor, he is also a law enforcement officer.
They would have to, like, duct tape two different, like, bulletproof vests together or something. He's a giant of a man.
That he is.
How did we get here? For a brief moment, I forgot this was a video game podcast. We were talking about Shaq as a cop.
You can thank Big D's for all of this.
Who?
One of the companies that's working on Shaq Fu.
Oh, Big D's?
Yes.
Okay.
And Saber Interactive, they've brought Shaquille O'Neal to the forefront. So, there you go. Shaq Fu, June 5th. Go enjoy it. And then somebody wanted to talk about the NES Mini.
Oh, that's me. I just put this in there because I wanted to remember to ask when the NES Mini is supposed to be coming out, and I didn't know I didn't trust myself to remember, so I put it in the show notes.
Sometime in the spring is what it was supposed to be.
All right, well, I didn't see one at Best Buy that day. They had a couple Super NES Minis, but
according to my yard this morning, it's still winter. So
I thought it was spring. I don't know what happened. Somebody tell Nintendo make those things.
It was like 80 degrees 2 days ago. Crazy.
Yep, it was. So, yeah, NES Mini is still supposed to be getting restocked in the spring.
All right, well, let me know if you see one. I want one of those things.
Okay. And then, last but not least, Beat Saber will be out on May 1st. Shannon, you wanted to talk about this.
Man, this is May 1st for Vive and Oculus, and PSVR is still in the works. Like, it was announced for PSVR, but no date set yet. So I'm very much looking forward to this. This is like Guitar Hero. If Guitar Hero instead was played with two lightsabers and you had to dance around the note highway. So
looks great.
That almost sounds like my dance battle game dream.
You just need to watch the trailer. Anybody who has any interest in what I just said, Beat Saber.
All right.
I keep looking at those PSVR things because they got that Skyrim bundle out. I'm like, I don't want to spend $350 on that thing. Why is it not cheaper?
It dropped recently.
I know. It's actually, I mean, it's affordable, obviously, but I mean, I don't want to spend that much money on it. I just want those Miku and Idolmaster games. They're not even games. It's just like going to a concert. There's like hundreds of dollars of DLC, apparently. I'm not getting into Drop Mix, and I'm not getting into VR.
Well, all right. Well, that is it for the news this week. So let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Sam via Facebook. He says, I guess this is a bit of a Tony-centric question, but my friend is looking to get Splatoon 2 and asked me if the skill level online is friendly to kids. I explained what I could, but as a father, what do your kids like and dislike about the game? I think it's perfectly fine for kids to be online and play that game. My 6-year-old enjoys playing Splatoon online, and I was worried the first few times he got online because I thought if he's going to lose a lot, he's going to, you know, be throwing fits and screaming and we're going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, but apparently toddlers will yell at TV, video games, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is a thing. But I've watched him play and he's pretty good at it. He's got a good grasp of what he's supposed to be doing. And the nature of the game means that they can have just as much fun playing the game and contributing to the game as anybody else on the team. Because you're not completely focused so much on the shooting the other players aspect of the game. If you have a kid that just wants to get in and spread ink all over the place, they're going to have just as much fun doing that as you are, you know, trying to play the game, quote, the right way.
Yeah, there's not some jerk on the other side going, hey, play your class. Well, there actually probably is, but you can't hear them because
exactly
there's no voice chat. Unless you have like 300 foot of coax cable, like a satellite dish and whatever hoary adapter thing that looks like a squid. And then you can hear people in the lobby or something. I don't know.
I have not ever heard another voice on the game, but I'm not hooking my headset up every time. And I have the ability to do voice chat through Splatoon.
You have that thing?
No, you can actually do it without that thing if you have the ability to hook up a headset to both the game and to a phone at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So, or, you know, just use Discord like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, there's that. But yeah, I think depending on how old your kid is, if they're 5 or 6 or 7, they're going to have a good time playing the game. They're maybe not going to level up as fast and they're not going to win as much. But watching Andrew playing, he's been on some winning teams just as much as he's been on losing teams. And he has fun the whole time. I haven't seen him ever, you know, throw a fit if he gets splatted, you know, or whatever. He just gets to go back in and shoot more ink all over the place. And he loves it. So I think Splatoon 2 is a good online game. If your kid is interested in playing games with other people online, and it gives you the ability to sort of ease them into that experience because you don't have to deal with random people yelling at them. If they're not doing what they think the team thinks they're supposed to be doing and things like that. So Splatoon 2 is a great experience and a great first online game for people.
You know what I would not recommend as your first online game for kids? Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match. You know, you got to be in the right region. Unless your kid speaks Japanese and loves reading, you know, maybe it's for them. I'm pretty sure there's a t-shirt that says that exact thing, but yeah,
no. You know. Not recommended for children. Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match.
Unless your kid speaks Japanese and loves reading and has an Asia PSN account, they probably won't like Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match.
That's a lot of stuff to put on one shirt.
Yeah, it wraps around to the back. It's kind of weird.
So, all right, there you go. And then our last one comes from Cole via Facebook, who has a couple of questions. First, when's the last date for that mashup contest?
It was today, as you're hearing this, but as is publishing. But since we only got 2 entries, we're going to let it go one more week. So, hey, anyone listening, not a lot of people listen to this podcast. So then maybe you got a good chance of winning if you want to come up with a thing. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, we have a contest going currently where we took a bunch of, by we, I mean me, took a bunch of anime and video game titles and mashed them together, and I want you to give me a name for that game. If you want to win something, go to the site, nintendo-oki.com, and it should be one of the top 4 things at the thing, mm-hmm. at the top of the website. Click on that. It'll have details. It'll have the prizes listed. Yeah.
It's also pinned at the top of both our Facebook group and the Twitter page.
Yeah, there you go.
So, all of those details are there. You have, I'd say, until Friday night to get us your answers or your ideas for that mashup contest.
Yeah.
But also, while we're here, we might as well go ahead and mention this as well. Ethan recently uploaded a new episode of The Question Block, and you still have a little bit of time to get those answers into us. When do they need to have those by, Ethan?
Friday the 13th by 11:59 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay.
To datadrain at nintendo-ogi.com.
There you go. Those are the two different contests that we have going on right now. So listen to that episode of The Question Block. Check out the mashup contest. Send us your ideas for and answers for both of those by Friday night. And then he has a question that he wants to know. What game has already disappointed you this year? And then what game do you look forward to this year?
Disappointed me this year. I'm sad that there aren't more Girls Zoom Panzer Dream Tank match shirts. There's not really enough. There's such a big market for them, you know?
As evidenced by recent Google searches.
That's Google shopping, what it leads you to believe. I don't know. I like Kirby Star Allies. I wouldn't say that I'm disappointed with it. So much as it was probably a little easier than Kirby games normally are. Not that they're ever super challenging or anything, and that may be a component of having four characters kind of beating up on bosses at the same time. But I still think the game is good. I wouldn't call it disappointing, but I don't know that anything I've played this year has really been that disappointing. I've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of stuff.
I don't know that I've been really disappointed. Well, that's not entirely true. There was a game I played a couple weeks ago that I don't think I've talked about. That was kind of disappointing. It was another one of those farming games. I can't even remember exactly what it was called. I think it was called Professional Farmer 2018 or something like that. Let me see if I can find it online.
Like a sports game. I was disappointed with the mobile version of Getting Over It. I didn't feel like the controls worked all that well. And I was disappointed with Cook Serve Delicious when I got to the end of what I thought was the full game. And it was like, hey, buy the game! Like, oh. And I think that was just because I wasn't aware that it was a demo.
Yeah.
I do like the game.
The game I was thinking about is called Farm Expert 2018 for Switch.
Farm Expert 2018.
When I first looked at it, I was like, okay, cool. Another, you know, farming simulator game. I'll play this and see what it's like and have a little bit of fun with it. No. It is a port of a mobile game, and the controls in the game, first of all, the controls in the game are horrendous. It uses the analog sticks to move. You press up on the right analog stick to move to accelerate or push down to reverse, and then you use the left analog stick to control, and then every other thing is done by using the touchscreen.
The controls for this video game are very awkward because we ported a mobile version onto the Switch. Girls Zoom Panzer Dream Take Match. Put it on the shirt.
It's also not a farming simulator. It is a mission-based farming game, so they'll tell you
your mission is to grow three potatoes in 25 minutes.
That's exactly what they are.
Really? That sounds amazing.
That kind of thing. So it's like, go do this, you know, grow those potatoes or harvest some apples and you've got 30 minutes to do it. And so you have to drive around and get all the stuff to plant the trees. And then you have to wait a few minutes for the apples to grow, and then you harvest them, and then you have to drive them over to the place where you can sell them.
That would be better if there were ninjas trying to stop you.
Unfortunately, I've not seen a single ninja in the game.
Dang it.
It's a really bad game.
You plant that ninja bush. Get them going.
So what about you guys? Ethan, Shannon, has there been a game that's disappointed you so far this year?
I was actually quite disappointed with Jackbox Party Pack 4.
Really?
I don't think there's a single game in that set that we really enjoyed as a family or with the group of guys that come over on a regular basis and play.
Yeah.
I think that just kind of turned out to be a flop compared to the other three.
I think Party Pack 3 has been our favorite.
When I think of what am I most looking forward to, Nintendo seemed pretty dead set on Smash Brothers being a 2018 release.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say that.
Okay.
I'm very disappointed with Destiny 2 so far this year.
You've only played it for 60 hours.
There's nothing to do on there. When there is, it's like, I've already done this.
No.
And I don't know what I'm looking forward to.
That's a lot that I'm looking forward to.
Maybe an expansion for Destiny 2.
How is... Okay. You know what? I'm just going to let that go. That your answer to most disappointing and most looking forward to is both Destiny 2. I think that actually sums up Destiny very well.
It works well on this occasion.
I'm looking forward to Yakuza 6. Looking mm-hmm. forward to Yakuza Kiwami... Yeah. No. Yeah, Kiwami 2. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to those Persona, Dancing Moon Knight, and Dancing Star Knight. I'm hoping that maybe Persona Q2 comes out this year. Can I think of any more Japanese-centric games that I'm looking forward to? Girls Doom Panzer Dream Take Match 2. That was a shirt, by the way.
Let's see. What am I looking
forward to? Oh, I'm looking forward to that Splatoon 2 DLC a lot.
That is right up there on my list.
That's probably my most excited thing, honestly.
There's a game coming out this week that Ethan had told me about, I think, earlier this week. Don't Starve is coming to the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Obviously, that Splatoon DLC has skyrocketed to the top of my list.
Yeah.
Of things that I am very interested in playing. Captain Toad, if that, you know, makes it out this year. I think that's a July release right now. There's not a lot of new stuff that I can think of right off the top of my head that I'm like, I really want to play this. It's mostly remakes and things. So, a lot of stuff that I haven't played in a while. The World Ends With You's coming to the Switch. I want to play that. I'm interested in No More Heroes.
Yeah, that's true. Is Mega Man 11 supposed to be this year, or do we know?
I don't know if that's going to be this year or not.
I'm looking forward to that. I don't think it's this year, though.
Wargroove is a game I'm really looking forward to, and I think that's supposed to be out in the second half of the year.
I'm really looking forward to Shannon getting everything in the drop mix and then bringing it to my house so I can play with it and not have to buy it.
That, you know what? We can make that happen.
Awesome!
I'm looking forward to the new season of Fooly Cooly.
Man, that first episode...
Okay, so I did some research. That wasn't the first episode. That was the fourth episode.
What?
That was the first episode of season 3.
I am very confused.
They showed episode 1 recently at a convention.
Oh, okay.
Why would they show...
Why not?
Shannon, think about what day it was.
Okay.
It was April 1st.
I'm confused. I need to just wait.
They're doing their best to not cause a Szechuan emergency again.
I'm also very excited about Fooly Cooly, but I'm also very scared because that was my favorite anime all the time. The anime means a tremendous lot, to me because I speak English good. Yeah.
you know what, Shelby? That was a whole lot more gooder.
Thank you.
Girl, Octopath Traveler also comes out this year that I am super excited for that.
That sounds familiar.
That was the one that had the demo right after E3.
The 8-bit with like the 3D world that's got like the super high definition lighting.
Is that the same people that made Dust and Elysian Tale? Is that those?
No, this is the same people that made... what was that?
It wasn't the Square Enix.
Bravely Default.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Cool. I like that and game until that dragon beat the crap out of me.
Oh, and we're a couple weeks out from the biggest release of the year.
Shaq Fu 2?
No, that's in June.
I marked my calendar so I wouldn't forget it. Clearly, I already forgot.
Beat Saber?
Yakuza 6?
No. It's a Switch game.
It is a couple weeks out.
Hello Kitty Cruisers.
Okay. Yep.
Bullet Witch.
Oh, man, I wish.
Because we can never go an episode without discussing Bullet Witch 2 death.
You said Bullet Witch 2.
Yep.
Make it happen.
Man.
Yeah, just imagine if Nintendo funded Bullet Witch 2 like they did Bayonetta.
It's called Bayonetta. That's what happened. They made a better game. Unfortunately, I like playing the bad one more.
You know that joke where it's always, copy my homework, just make sure you change it up a little, and it's always like the little same image almost.
Yeah.
This one's like, they changed it so much, it's not even the same thing anymore.
There was that exactly moment when Bullet Witch 2 showed up on Xbox Live or backwards compatibility or whatever it was, and I got really excited. Wait, I forget what it was. I don't know. I bought the Bullet Witch 2 DLC. No, not Bullet Witch 2. Dang it.
There's not a Bullet Witch 2.
I want there to be, though.
I was just sitting here quietly going to let you keep rambling for a moment.
I am rambling. Tony, end my pain. That's not right. Dark.
That will be the show for this week. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group. Talk to us there. Don't forget to enter either the question block or our anime crossover contest. You have till Friday night to get your entries in for either of those. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
That was the first new episode of the question block in like 4 years.
I know. It's been a while. Thank you, Shannon, for being on the show.
Pleasure as always.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for coasting this craziness.
I bought the game, Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match, and then I bought this shirt.
That's the shirt.
That should exist, right?
It should.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days. I just keep rocks freezing in my freezer all the time.
Oh, well, yeah. Seems to work for alcoholics, so why not?
I thought when people said on the rocks, that's what they meant.